Father Lemoncelli, representing the Congregation of Institutes of Consecrated Life and Societies of Apostolic Life, and all of you dear friends in Christ, and especially you dear religious sisters. If you inquire what the Church is asking you to do at this hour, at this moment, during this National Assembly of the Council of Major Superiors of Women Religious, the Word of God will give you the answer. It is found in the entrance antiphon of the beautiful Mass of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, which we are celebrating today as a solemnity. This antiphon is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, which has this important exhortation, and we listen to the Word of God, which says, "Let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy." Yes, you are invited to receive mercy and to share it abundantly with the world. The world, the Church, gives you, dear sisters, the opportunity to live intensely the hours of this day and all the remaining time of this National Assembly together with our Blessed Mother under her wonderful title, Mother of Mercy. Mary is indeed the Mother of Mercy because her Son, the incarnate Word, Jesus Christ, like his Father, is God, rich in mercy, who has brought us to life in Christ, raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavens. In his Magna Carta on Divine Mercy, St. John Paul II tells us, Mary is also the one who obtained mercy in a particular and exceptional way, as no other person has. Mary, then, is the one who has the deepest knowledge of the mystery of God's mercy. She knows its price. She knows how great it is. In this sense, continues St. John Paul II, we call her the Mother of Mercy, Our Lady of Mercy, or Mother of Divine Mercy. Today, guided by the Word of God, we are privileged to celebrate the Eucharistic sacrifice in the fullness of the Paschal mystery in special intimacy with Mary, the Mother of Mercy. That's what we're doing now, celebrating in special intimacy with Mary, the Mother of Mercy. She, the Mother of Jesus, opens our hearts to the salvation that the name of Jesus signifies. She herself, as the first of the redeemed, has been clothed, in the words of the prophet Isaiah, with garments of salvation. She is truly like a bride with her jewels. Of special attraction for you, dear sisters, in your liturgical worship is the rich context, the rich content of the Magnificat, which serves as our responsorial psalm today. Actually, every day of your life, you hear and ponder in prayer Mary's great proclamation of mercy, every day. Listen again, now, once more, to what she says. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. With these words, Mary acknowledges that she herself has received the fullest measure of mercy. God is her Savior. God is Mary's Savior. Like all the descendants of Adam, without exception, after Adam's fall, she absolutely needed to be redeemed. Her son, Jesus, her God, is indeed her Savior. And in her Magnificat, she invites all generations to join her in acknowledging this truth. In acknowledging Mary's need for redemption and the fact that God is truly her Savior, as she proclaims, we also joyfully acknowledge the unique way in which she received the redemption. Like the redemption of all of us, it was accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ alone. Unlike the rest of us, Mary was not released from original sin, but she was preserved from original sin from the moment of her Immaculate Conception. By a singular privilege given her by God, however, Mary received, by anticipation, the results of the redemption that was brought forth on Calvary. The complete preservation from original sin granted her at her Immaculate Conception is then the supreme gift of God's mercy to Mary. She received mercy in a degree that no one else ever received it. For this mercy of salvation shown her, she speaks to the world, saying, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked with favor on his lowly servant." Through the great mercy granted her, she is then so qualified to be invoked for the whole world as the Mother of Mercy, who is both a provident mother and the servant of God's mercy. Mary's son, Jesus, performed mercy's greatest deed on Calvary. There, Mary stood next to his cross, and she is acknowledged by the Church as both the associate of the Redeemer and his loving mother, the Mother of Mercy for the whole world. Today, this Mother of Mercy reminds us in the sacred liturgy of the Church that God has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. It is she, Mary, the Mother of Mercy, who now extends to each of us the invitation to join her in saying, "Forever I will sing the mercy of the Lord." We know that divine mercy is God's love in the face of our needs, our weaknesses, and our sins. This is what divine mercy is. Invoking divine mercy always involves a commitment on our part, however, to share with others the mercy that we so earnestly desire for ourselves. Likewise, our celebration and invocation of the Mother of Mercy means that we include in our prayers all our brothers and sisters and the needs and weaknesses that they share with us. The invocation of the Mother of Mercy becomes the extension for us of the Our Father that we confidently pray in intimate union with Mary. In the context of the sacred liturgy that we are celebrating, our petition for mercy becomes also, and this is important, becomes also adoration and praise of the God who has revealed himself as rich in mercy, the God of mercy. Our thanksgiving for the gift of his mother, our Mother of Mercy, also becomes praise of the eternal plan of God who reveals himself as rich in mercy. This thanksgiving and praise are now being offered to the Father in this Eucharist by Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. Dear sisters, with Mary, we are called continually to proclaim together the mercy of the Lord, and each one of us is invited to repeat with Mary, "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior."